to have faith in Jesus Christ and to reach out in desperation. When you finally have come to the conclusion, there is no help, I am done, I am doomed, but I know one thing, I put my trust in Him alone, and whatever He wants to do in my life, I allow Him to do it. Then God can work in your life.
Welcome to the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese, brought to you by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California. You know, living in this fallen world is often incredibly painful. Sickness, trials, and the death of loved ones break our hearts and weary our spirits. But today, Raul will encourage us with the empowering reminder that God is greater than all of the heartaches we face. We can trust Him in all that's in our lives, knowing that He can use even our suffering for His purposes. Let's turn now to chapter 9 in our continuing study of Matthew and reground our hearts and minds with an inspiring look at Christ's infinite power.
And now this morning, we want to deal with chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. When we started this chapter, we looked at the account largely with the stories showing the authority of Jesus and the sicknesses that He healed. Now, it was three miracles that we have here in the book of Matthew chapter 9 now, where number one, a daughter of a synagogue leader becomes very ill to the point of death, and then eventually she dies. Why don't you turn there to chapter 9 and look at what he says here in verse 18 and 19. As we first of all have the first observation in the story of a very desperate father. Very desperate father that has a great need in their lives. This is the kind of situation we find ourselves this morning under in the story. Because in chapter 9, verse 18, it starts out this way. He says, while he spoke these things to them, he's speaking to the disciples. Behold, a ruler came and worshiped Jesus, saying, my daughter has just died. Now, here in the book of Matthew, he limits a lot of things that are found in the Gospel of Mark and in the Gospel of Luke. In the same story. Because his name is Jairus in the Gospel of Luke. And Jairus was one of those leaders in the synagogue that had a lot of pull, a lot of power in his own job where he was working. And somehow his daughter became sick, and he had taken his daughter to many physicians, but none of the physicians could do anything for his daughter. Maybe some of you have been there before with your children. Or with someone in your family. It is really bad news when you go to the doctor and they'll tell you, I can't do anything for them. Take them home. That happens every day in life. And yet, this Jairus that actually worked in the synagogue, he was a ruler. You could actually say that he was not a believer, he was an atheist. But when it came to his daughter's benefit of living, somehow there was a little bit of hope in his heart, and he remembered that there was a man by the name of Jesus that already had been healing a lot of people. And it gave him hope. Sometimes God will use tragedies and problems in our lives to draw us to Himself. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but God, in His grace and mercy and love, is drawing you to Himself. There are the people that believe and think that when someone in their family becomes ill or even dies, they become real bitter and they start blaming God and hating God. That should never happen. Whether a person lives or dies, it doesn't really matter. If I really believe in God's perfect will for my life, then I truly put my faith and trust in God, whether it be my son or my daughter or my grandchildren or even my wife or myself. Why? Because we truly believe that God is in control of every situation. That's a truth in the Bible. But there are so many that doubt and blame God when something happens in their lives. And we should never do that. So now here is this young man coming to Jesus, a ruler. And the first thing that he does is he worships Jesus. But he was not a worshiper. Something happened to this man from the time he left his house as an unbeliever. And he came to meet Jesus. We find him now worshiping Jesus. Something happened in his heart when he approached the Lord. Look what it says. And he said, "My daughter has just died." He received news that his daughter had now died. And why is he coming to Jesus? His daughter's dead. You know why? Because he heard that he raises people from the dead. He heard that. That Jesus had raised people from the dead. Think of all the people that are in here in this building right now at this very time. Where in the world we were dead in sin, on our way to hell. And when we came to Jesus Christ and repented and received Him by faith, what did He do? He gave us a new mind, a new heart, and a new life. We were resurrected. Remember Paul in Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 4? That when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior, your name was written in the book of life. And then when you were baptized in water, the water never baptized you to save you. But when you went into the water, Paul says, it's like a grave. It's like a place for the dead. That when you step into the water, you're proclaiming that you have been born again of the Holy Spirit, and that now you're dying with Jesus Christ, and now when you come out of the water, you're being resurrected in newness of life. It's a symbol of resurrection. Every one of us here has been resurrected if you are a Christian. And if you have been baptized, that's the symbol. Baptism doesn't save anybody. Something was going on in the heart and mind of this young man. "My daughter has just died, but you come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Isn't that beautiful? That even today, even though, you know, the dead are not being raised, but that we can put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, you can do whatever you want in my life and in their lives, and I will trust you. Just come, Lord. Do it. Do it in my life." And you know what's so neat? Listen to the next verse. And Jesus did what? He got up and followed him. And his disciples went right behind him. He went to his house. And they're walking along, going over to his house. And as he is walking along, all of a sudden we see in the next verse, look what happens in verse 20 and 21. Observation number 2, a desperate woman bumps into Jesus with a great disease. How can that be? Listen, one of the things I want you to understand, you're not the only one in need at this time in your life. There's a lot of people in need. At the same time you come to Jesus, there are hundreds and millions of people coming for their needs. But yet Jesus takes every case personally. I like that. Personally. What do you mean? Well, watch this. Verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. Now, this is amazing because, again, in the other Gospels, it gives us more insight to this woman. This woman had been cast out from society. She was bleeding to death. She had a disease. And she had been to many, many physicians, and the physicians had given up on her and said, we can do nothing for you. Imagine living 12 years in desperation, in sickness, thinking, when is death going to come in my life? And then all of a sudden hearing of this person that is there around the Sea of Galilee, and he is touching and healing people. And she's thinking, man, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk down into town. And if I see Jesus, I'm not even going to stop him. I'm just going to go behind him and just touch him. What does that show you? That this woman has great faith in Jesus. In order for God to work in my life and in your life, you have to have faith in Him. Not unbelief. Faith. Not like the positive confessioners, you know, preach it. It's not my faith. It's my faith in Jesus that heals me. Because I'm an imperfect person. And I love the way the story is put together, because here suddenly this woman comes out of nowhere. Jesus is in a hurry. They're walking through the crowds. Remember, there's people everywhere. In the other gospel, it says when she reached out and touched his hem of his garment, he turned around and said, who touched me? And the disciple said, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? Look at all the people following us. And you're asking who touched me? But he felt it. Jesus feels everyone's touch when you touch Jesus. But let me say this better. It's better when Jesus touches you that makes you better. Because this is exactly what Jesus will do. I don't care what your problem may be. I don't care what your sickness may be. You can be like this man. You can be like this woman. To have faith in Jesus Christ and to reach out in desperation. In desperation. When you finally have come to the conclusion, there is no help, I am done, I am doomed, but I know one thing, I put my trust in Him alone, and whatever He wants to do in my life, I allow Him to do it. Then God can work in your life. But every time you doubt, how can He work? He can't. It's an impossibility. He can't work in doubt. You really have to trust Jesus. He said, what do you mean? Well, look what it says in verse 21. For she said to herself, this is what she's thinking in her mind. If only I may touch his garment, I shall be healed. Notice that. I shall be well. I shall be well. God will touch my life. Physically, but spiritually, He will touch me. Imagine how many thousands, millions of people Jesus Christ has touched in this earth. Imagine. Hundreds, thousands, millions of people. Why? Because He always works not according to our time, but He's always on His time. Remember that. It's according to His will, not according to my will. When I pray to Him. You can have a headache. Same thing. How many times, you know, we pray for people. I say cancer. We go, oh Lord, cancer. And when we say we have a headache, oh Lord, just heal that headache, you know. No. I mean, headache, cancer, whatever it is, you know. We should pray in the same way, with the same passion. Before the Lord. Because God does want to heal. God does want to touch people's hearts and lives. And when this woman was immediately touched by the Lord, check this out. Again, notice observation number 3. As she comes to Jesus behind Him, touches Him. Now the third observation, a great healer with great compassion. I like that. A great healer with great compassion for you and for me. Check this out, verse 22. But Jesus turned around. He's walking through the crowd. She touches Him and He turns around. And when He saw her, He said, Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that very hour. She was never the same. And we will never be the same when Jesus touches you. Ever. I don't care what you do. In the other Gospels, it tells us again that he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" before he said this to the woman. Because imagine, she's walking along, touches him. He turns around and she's kind of shocked. And the Lord saw her. And the Lord says to her, notice, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Can you imagine that big old smile on her face? After 12 years of paying all of your income to doctors and they can do nothing for you. But Jesus touches you. As you went behind him and you snuck up on Jesus and you touched the hem of his garment, and power, virtue left his body and touched the woman. We don't have to go to healing services. God can heal you right now at this present time. All you have to do is ask him. Just ask him by faith. He'll touch you. Just like he touched this woman that had faith in Jesus Christ. I think of all the people like this woman outside of the church, in the church. They have great needs and they've been waiting for years and years in their struggle, in their illnesses and sicknesses. And then one day, God touches them. And people will say, "Well, why didn't he do it sooner?" Because it's God's time, not your time. All those other years, 12 years that Jesus had never touched this woman, guess what? She learned a lot of lessons that she can teach people now. Others that are weak and sick. God knows what he's doing. He takes us from pride to humility. From pride to humility. He takes us from being healthy to sickness, or from sickness to be healthy. It's all up to him. We are in his hands. He is our master. He is our savior. And yet the woman's faith was almost, in a way, just a perfect thing for everybody surrounding them as they watched this great healing. Everybody became excited. And yet on the sidelines, who's waiting? The father, Jairus, "My daughter is dead." Waiting while this other miracle is taking place. What do you think he was thinking? "My daughter is dead. I wonder if Jesus is going to be able to help me or not." Now, I wonder if Jairus' daughter would have never come back to life if he still would have followed Jesus. You ever think about that? That there are people that if God doesn't work, they'll say, "Later with you, God." They just come for the need. And if the need's not met, they leave Jesus alone. We can't do that. We have to understand that maybe through the death of his daughter, Jesus uses that to bring mother and father and loved one and friends to the Lord. Yes. In this case, the daughter lives again. But imagine how many people were touched. Look what it says again. In verse 23 to 26, observation number 4, the great healer with great power. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, so now he comes to the ruler's house, they finally get there. And what does he see? The first thing they come into the house, they see the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. Wait a minute, she just died. Yeah, in that culture, you bury the person the same day. Same day. Everything's taken care of the same day. If you're a person of money and stature, and let's say the person dies, let's say a wife loses her husband, but she really doesn't like her husband, but she wants to look good in front of family and friends, she hires musicians to come and play for her husband. And she also can hire professional mourners to mourn for her, to wail and scream and cry for her husband, even though she doesn't love him. She played a good part. That's the culture. But here Jesus comes and they're already wailing. Wailing and screaming and playing the flute. And verse 24 says, "And he said to them, 'Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping.'" Can you imagine that? She's dead. And Jesus says, "She's not dead." And they're looking at him like, "You're really weird. She's dead. Look at her. She's not breathing. She's gone." Now think of this. That little girl died and her spirit went to hell. Went to hell. You say, what? Before Jesus died on the cross, every person in the Old Testament that died went to hell. Read it in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16 verse 19. And everyone in hell, there were two compartments, Abraham's bosom, the gulf separating between the wicked and the righteous. Imagine this little girl going to Abraham's bosom because she died. And then Abraham says to her, "Daughter, you got to go back." He said, "Make room for the girl. She's not dead but sleeping." And they began to laugh at him and ridicule him. But when the crowd was put outside, he got rid of the non-believers and doubters. You don't want people like that at your funeral. You want people that really love you and trust in the Lord. And they're going to know that God's hands upon this. Check this out. "But when the crowd was put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl got up." She rose up. Imagine coming back from the dead to this world. As she comes back, she sits up. They fix her something to eat. And check this out, verse 26. "And the report of this went out in all the land." You bet. The testimony of this funeral service was everywhere. Every newspaper carried it. Every TV station carried it. Can you imagine that? Person dies but resurrected. That would be big news.
Trusting the Lord in the middle of our trials isn't easy. But as we've seen today, every difficulty we face gives us an opportunity to deepen our faith as we entrust our lives once again to the God who loves us. Now, before Raul Reese returns, we'd like to tell you about an audio pack that will guide you in trusting God specifically in the area of your marriage. If you and your spouse are struggling and it seems your marriage may even be past saving, this resource will guide you back to the limitless power of God. Titled "The Key to a Successful Marriage," this 4-CD pack from Raul offers insight into how you can effectively reground your relationship in the guidelines of God's Word. You and your spouse don't have to experience the tragedy of divorce. Contact us today to order this 4-CD series and explore Scripture's guidelines for a thriving, Christ-centered relationship. Each lesson will show you how to pursue your God-given roles as husband and wife, and how to bring restoration and healing to your marriage through the power of mutual submission. To purchase the Key to a Successful Marriage audio pack, simply give us a call at 800-634-9165. Once again, that's 800-634-9165. And staff members are standing by to receive your call. If you prefer, you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Or go online to somebodylovesyouradio.org, where you can also review today's message. Now, for a donation of any amount, we'll be glad to send you a standalone copy of today's teaching in its unedited form. Just call 800-634-9165 and request lesson 540-21. That's lesson 540-21. We so appreciate your faithful giving. Calling that 800 number and making a donation is a great way to show your support in a tangible way, enabling us to continue spreading God's Word. Thanks so much for your partnership in this listener-supported ministry. And be sure and join us again next time for another Somebody Loves You Radio. Raul Reese will continue our study of Matthew's Gospel with a challenge to follow the example of two blind men who saw the truth about Christ and embraced His divine identity as Savior of the world. Now, with a final word for today, here's Raul.
Think of Jesus what he can do. Why did he do this? Because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He did it to prove not only that he's God, but he allowed the little girl to come back, and probably the little girl would become an instrument with her father of bringing and leading others to Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what happens to you and me when we are born again of the Holy Spirit, and then we are baptized, you know, by the Holy Spirit. What do? We tell other people what Jesus has done for us. How we were dead, but now we're alive in Christ Jesus. That's the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope that this morning the Lord will speak to each one of us individually. And if you're here this morning and you are dead in your sins, then you need to rise from the dead. I am falling
in love. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.